Hold on a second. I hear you're feeling under the weather.
I'm a little bit sick, John.
And I can hear it in your voice.
Just in time for the holidays.
Just in time. What a gift. Who gave you that?
I got food poisoning right before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right.
And now we got this cold flu thing coming right before Christmas.
Not a good time. And LA's on fire. And
maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's all the stuff in the air. But you know what probably is? Tax cuts.
Yes, it's always good to start off the show with a little bit of political humor.
Look, John, I don't know if you know, but Donald Trump just signed this tax cuts thing today or whatever, yesterday, depending on when people are listening to this. And people are going to be dying in the streets. I've already got the flu.
Yeah.
Between this and net neutrality and then the Paris Accords, I don't even know what's going to kill me first. But the combination of all of them is like a Voltron of personal attacks upon myself.
And then on top of that, there's the top secret Republicans meeting in the investigation. They're using evidence, and there's more stuff being dug up in the news every day about how horrible our lives are in the United States.
Yes. Being in the United States is definitely one of the worst places.
One of the worst. We're third world.
Yes.
We are so third world.
Look, I went to Trader Joe's, 2 days ago, and they were out of the whipped cream cheese. All right?
No way.
I know what suffering is about. I had to get like the thick cream cheese, which is like, it's hard to disperse because it's all just a clump of cheese. This is like, what is this, like the 1800s? Maybe the Republicans are looking for this 1800s oligarchy that they were, I don't know. I hear these like little talking points and I'm just like, I don't know anything about that. I'm going to move on.
No, and I was all agitated, after the election and with all the stuff that was going on prior, the weeks before. I got to the point where I just basically stopped watching the news.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much.
It is a bit much.
You know, if he's going to implode the world, he'll implode the world. And, I'll find out about it probably seconds before, the Holocaust and... Well, maybe that's probably not the right word, but...
Jeez, John. Who are you, me?
I was thinking nuclear holocaust, and I didn't say the nuclear part, but people are like, oh my God, ovens?
Yeah.
Not good humor for a for a Christmas Eve show. one thing that I didn't do before this show, this is fall territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
That's me. I'm Jed Rigney.
I didn't get the number, but I was thinking this could be episode 49. This is episode 49.
Yes.
And I would say that that's the Louisiana Lightning Ron Guidry episode of Fall Territory.
Oh, nice. The Gator.
The Gator. So today I think we're just going to jump right into it, huh?
Yeah. We'll mix and match as we go along.
Yeah, because we want to make sure that we can get you, to the nearest cup of chicken soup and warm bed as soon as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk some baseball.
Let's talk baseball. So we'll kick it off with headlines.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorite headlines of the week is Derek Jeter hosting a Marlins town hall meeting.
Did you watch any of this thing?
I have not watched it. I read a lot going into it and how much he is hated more than Loria.
Yeah. No, John, it was basically like, what's the worst way I can do this? Like Derek Jeter went in there and just like, he basically like was middle fingers up the whole time. And just like, no, I'm the boss, I'm in charge, and no sense of real compassion for these fans. And because anyway, so they get together a bunch of fans, like actual Marlins fans. And you can imagine how difficult that would be to get together like a bunch of Marlins fans.
They had to go and pull people off the street.
Yeah, I'm sure some of them were just sort of like they got extras. They cast some extras in there. They're like, we got three real ones, and then let's just get some warm bodies, some seat fillers.
Right. You want a hot dog? Come on in.
But no condiments. No condiments. Got to keep it cheap.
Right. But everything that he has said so far that I've read about has been the antithesis of what every Marlins fan hoped for with the exit of Loria. Someone that's warmer, someone who cares about the fans, someone who cares about winning baseball. And I think Jeter has a game plan, but the game plan isn't really going to be, come to fruition for at least another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And fans just don't want that. It's just
weird that like he's such a, everyone likes him. Like, why would you come out like a jerk? Maybe he's a jerk. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe Derek Jeter is actually a jerk.
When you think about it, though, have you ever seen a real personable interview with him throughout his career? He was always more robotic.
He used to give out all those gift baskets to his lady lovers. Right. That's so thoughtful.
He's like, I'm not giving up gift baskets to Marlins fans. I don't have...
He should have after what he just did to them.
It probably would have been cost less than what he did for his lady friends because there's probably less Marlins fans than there are former Derek Jeter lady friends. Now, it's just Marlins Derek. Fans are kind of over it. And you have Real Muto and Yelich both saying, yeah, maybe we should have a conversation about me being traded too. So, yeah, everybody wants out. But that's okay because I think it's smart, in all honesty. If they're going to tear it down, tear it all the way down.
Yeah.
You'll get more for Real Muto and Yelich, those two combined, than you did for the other three that they already traded.
I mean, I don't like when teams tear it down to, like, AAA level, you know, like where it's like...
Well, the Marlins have done it twice before.
But, you know, I don't know. I also understand this team doesn't have money and doesn't have any prospects and is... Frankly, what they've gotten back so far isn't exactly turning the tide.
No, they have. I think Alcantara is probably the only player that you can kind of hang your hat on as being a bona fide prospect. But
yeah,
it's a pitcher.
I mean, there's some lottery tickets in there, right?
Yeah, there are. Most definitely.
Every team's got these guys who, you know, aren't in the top 100 and then all of a sudden they're in the top 25. You know, like the Dodgers. I mean, not that the Dodgers are ridiculous. But they had Walker Buehler, who was not in a lot of top 200s for prospect lists, and then made an adjustment, added 2 miles an hour to his fastball, and now he's a top 25 prospect in baseball. So the Marlins need a few of those.
Yeah, they need a lot more than a
few. Now, that's the story on the Dodgers was that, because we were talking about, like, where were the Dodgers in this Stanton thing? The Dodgers were trying to get the Marlins to eat more of the contract and give better value prospects. And the Marlins weren't interested.
Mm.
That's what happened.
And it's interesting too because you listen.
Or that's the word on the street. Sorry, or the word on the internet.
Yeah, and it's interesting following what I would call kind of unknowledgeable Marlins fans. All they care about is they want a winning team in their community, and they don't really understand the economics of baseball. They don't understand that the Marlins have were basically their backs were against the wall with Stanton in particular. Oh, they should have gotten more for Stanton. Maybe a little bit more, but not a heck of a lot more given the financial impact that his contract had for any trade candidate. And they did get a little bit screwed over. They would have got a better haul with the Giants or the Cardinals, but Stanton held all the cards because of Loria's contract allowed him to. But there's so many fans who are like, they didn't get anybody like, people are saying like they're doing what the Astros did. They're doing what the Cubs did. And there are people out there saying, well, they didn't get somebody like Carlos Correa in any of their trades. Like, well, that's because the Astros drafted him because they were shitty for 5 years and got first picks for, 3-4 years in a row.
Yeah. And wasn't Correa, it was actually kind of a clever move by the Astros, I seem to recall, where he was actually considered to be like number 3 or 4 that year, and they drafted him number 1, which turned out he was a number 1 in value, but they drafted him number 1 so they could get him for cheaper and have more money later in the draft. And that's what the Marlins need to do. They need to start.
Yeah, they need to have, if you're a true fan who understands the game and if you look at the last 15 years, they haven't done too well. No matter what they did and threw money at certain situations and it still didn't work, what they really need to do is develop a very strong farm system, build for a long-term run, which is what Jeter wants to do, and I get that. And that means losing for 3 or 4 years, having 100-plus loss seasons so that you can be in the top 2 or 3 picks in the draft.
Yeah,
that's
but maybe
not a
lighten
bad
up
thing.
On the attitude, Jeter. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he does.
Maybe lighten up
on
the
attitude. Yeah, he does come across a little bit like Tiger Woods.
Well, he didn't even show up at the owners' meetings. He's an owner. He didn't show up at the owners' meetings.
Did Sherman go?
I have no idea. I just know that he didn't go.
Yeah.
That's the news. That's the hot. That's the juicy goose. That's the juicy gossip.
Yeah, he's a swinging dick for sure. He just thinks he's the cock of the walk, walks in. It's like, I'm Derek Jeter. I 5 World Series.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. I'll do
helping the Yankees win another one with the, the Stanton trade.
Yeah.
What Yankees has been able to do that? To deliver a Hall of Fame performance on the field and then turn around and deliver Hall of Fame management for another team.
Yeah, he's still a Yankee for sure.
Yeah,
he might get a ring. He might wind up with one after this.
Or at least a gift basket, right?
Yeah, at least a gift basket. So one of the big trades in a kind of non-consequential way.
Right, like one of the biggest trades in the history of baseball.
To mean absolutely.
But also one of the most inconsequential trades in the history of baseball.
And your favorite players back in L.A.
Okay, so here's the deal. So the Dodgers traded to get Matt Kemp back from the Braves for Adrian Gonzalez, Scott Kazmir, who God knows what's going to happen to him next year, and Brandon McCarthy, who was also one of my favorite players because he's hilarious.
He's great, yeah.
And Charlie Culberson, which is a nice little get for the Braves. So basically what they were doing was Kemp is owed basically the same amount of money as all of these people combined, but Kemp is owed it over 2 years. So basically they just swap the exact same amount of money,
mm-hmm.
or almost exact. But the Dodgers will pay theirs off this year and next instead of all this year, and it saves them $15 million in the luxury tax or whatever, the over-the-cap penalty. But yeah, so he's back, but they're looking to trade him, and I saw some photos when they were showing, you know, the articles about the trade. I tell you, that Matt Kemp, he has not improved his athleticism. He's getting a little Miguel Cabrera, Prince Fielder-ish.
Oh, really? Is he? I haven't seen
a
photo.
He's a husky dude.
Yeah, he's enjoying his meals.
He's a husky dude.
He's a second helpings kind of guy these days.
He'll always be one of my favorites. So, but yeah, the Braves just immediately cut Adrian Gonzalez, so he's a free agent. He can go sign anywhere, and someone should pick him up, right? Like, take a chance on that good fielder.
But he still gets paid though for the last 2 years of his contract, right?
Well, so he's just got the 1 year left.
1 year left, so 24 million.
I think it's like $22 million. $22 million. So whoever signs him can pay him the league minimum,
right?
And then the Dodgers are trying to trade Matt Kemp for more than the league minimum. And he probably has some value to an American League team, like a DH.
American League, yeah.
If he could DH, he'd probably be worth $8 million.
Yeah, if the Red Sox didn't re-sign, what's his name, then you could have left Hanley at first and could have signed Matt Kemp.
Well, they're looking to trade Hanley, so that's why they still might be in the market on the J.D. Martinez. They're looking to trade Hanley. He's on the block, as they say.
Okay. That would be, but yeah, he's still, his power numbers have never really been consistent. And
yeah.
Hanley was a much better player when he wasn't all juiced up the way he is. Not to say that he's juicing,
but he's all beefed up.
Like, yeah.
He looks fat. He looks like, you know what he looks like? He looks like Manny Ramirez. He's not all fat, but it's like a combination of steroids. Not that Hanley Ramirez has steroids, but whatever. Maybe a little too much workout, but then also like a little bit of fat.
Yeah. He's beefed up for sure since he came up. And it was just like when Cabrera came up, he, 19-year-old, he was a skinny little thing.
Yeah.
And now he's twice the size that he was, you know, back in 2003.
Yeah.
And probably getting bigger.
I hope not. He's one of my favorite players. Even though for years I was attacking him, but denigrating him for winning out over Mike Trout in the MVP awards.
I think one of the things that I like about him is that he does not come across as a superstar. He's just an average Joe kind of guy. He plays
Your average DUI Joe.
Tacos.
I always hate bringing that up, but it's kind of funny. Like,
yeah.
Let's not lose sight of the fact that he did get busted for DUI.
There's a few people in Major League Baseball who've had their run-ins with the law.
Yes, there are.
Let's see.
Great hitter, though.
Yes, very good hitter. Hopefully,
maybe hitting the drinks a little too hard.
Yeah.
Though my understanding is he's completely cleaned that up and doesn't even really drink anymore. So
that's good. Yeah. Yeah, because he was drinking during.
Or at least that's what Tigers fans told me when I wrote an article about Mike Trout and was explaining how Mike Trout didn't have a DUI. And that's one of the reasons why he was better than Miguel Cabrera. Anyway, that's how I write, John. Yeah. I write, you know what? I try to be hot, and I try to get the hot take, and I try to
be a burr under someone's saddle if you can.
Yeah, I try to, you know, get the people talking.
Right, at you.
Yeah, people hate me, John, just so you know.
But that's the sign of a good writer, though, is that when you...
Is that the sign of a good writer, or just an asshole?
No, I think so. To me, I do. I like that. I like it when somebody intentionally knows going into an article that they're going to rile a base, but they do it anyway. That's good writing.
Well, then I guess I'm a good writer.
You are. I think you're one of the best. So one of the biggest, I guess, the biggest signing that no one saw coming, Carlos Santana going to the Phillies for big money, too.
Yeah.
Higher than what everybody thought he was going to get.
Here's a team, the Phillies, who have been rebuilding and who have a first baseman.
A young stud, too.
Yeah, it's such a Phillies move. Like, they have a great outfield, a great young outfield. They have a first baseman. And so now what they're going to do is push that first baseman to the outfield, lowering his value because he's not as good a fielder as a first baseman. Bringing in Carlos Santana, that will be an improvement on the team. But the team's not quite ready to win yet. And maybe by the third year, they would be ready to win. So it's a very strange move, very Phillies.
Seems like a little bit of a money grab for Santana. Because he went up, he went like three or four million over what everybody thought he would get per year.
Yeah. I mean, so he's going to take, obviously you can take the most money you can get. Like, why?
Yeah, but would you take the most money you can get and play for the Marlins?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I would take $3 million more per year, John.
You would?
Yeah.
To play for a crappy team?
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. Maybe you're not such a good writer after all.
I should say, well, I'm a very good writer. I'm just a terrible baseball player, so it doesn't even matter. Anyway, I always think it's weird when, especially the guy who's going from the Indians, right? This team's like in the playoff hunt, contending every year, and now he's going to be on the Phillies getting his butt kicked. I don't know. It's very Jim Thome, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I put it from the mindset of a sport, having played baseball for numerous years and the desire to win.
Maybe he's tired of winning. Maybe he's like America. He's tired of all the winning, John.
Boy.
Maybe he's going to make Carlos great again.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe he lifts, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Or maybe he just took the biggest paycheck. It is a little weird. Look, it is a little weird when you're talking about like, oh, look, he got $60 million and, oh, you could got $52 million and be somewhere else. It's hard to think of those numbers. But, maybe he just doesn't really care about winning. Or maybe the Phillies convinced him that they would win. Or maybe his agent convinced him. Or maybe his agent was like, look, take this contract, and then in 2 years they'll trade you to a contender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. There's no part about this deal that's not weird to me.
Yeah, it was just a shocker to me. I was scratching my head on that one.
Yeah.
Of all the places.
I mean, it's like, it's going to be if the Padres sign Hosmer, just like, I don't understand.
Right.
I just don't understand.
Well, that's more likely now. It is
more likely.
And you must have been so happy that Mitch Moreland re-signed with the Red Sox.
I mean, what's the deal? I guess Mitch Moreland signs and they're trying to stay under the salary cap. I don't know what the Red Sox are doing. Get J.D. Martinez. Stop messing around.
But the Moreland signing pretty much seals the deal that Hosmer won't be wearing a Red Sox cap.
There's no sealed deal that's been sealed here. Okay. Obviously, I've been watching too many Arrested Development episodes lately. Anyway, loose seal. There's a loose seal. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Hosmer.
Hosmer.
Hosmer not right. going to the
Red Sox. No, that's what I'm saying is Hanley's on the block still.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some for the Red Sox, and then there was some talk about Jackie Bradley Jr. being on the block, which I don't think they should do at all because that's a bad move.
Well, J.D. Martinez came out and said he wants to play outfield. He does not want to
be I'm sure he does. You know what he wants? He wants Carlos Santana's money. That's what he wants.
Oh, yeah. He wants $200 million over 6 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not even five years? 5 years, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, it's seven. I think it's the Boris.
Yeah.
The Boris thing is seven years.
Yeah.
Like the Ellsbury contract. You know that almost all the main free agents now are Scott Boras clients? The ones that are left.
Well, all the ones in January are always Scott Boras clients because that's usually when they spill over into January before they start signing.
It'd be interesting to see how this all sort of falls together, right? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of big names still out there.
Still out there. Like, this is a lot later than they usually are still out there. There's a lot of names still out there.
Yeah, the Hot Stove League didn't really burn at a bright pace. That's not quite mixed metaphors.
What are you doing with this metaphor, John?
Did not burn too brightly during the winter meetings because
it did not burn efficiently.
Right. It was all
we were using natural gas, and we found that
the only thing that really happened during the winter meetings, the trades had the signing of Ohtani, yep, and the trade of Stanton was before. And then during the meeting, all it was a bunch of relievers getting way overpaid.
Or properly paid.
I don't know.
Properly paid. The way baseball's going now where they use relievers more, properly paid, John.
I don't think so. Well, who's I just don't think that those numbers in the long run. Okay, if that's the case, then you shouldn't be signing starters to the big numbers that they are.
Well, that's also probably true, right? But again, it's like, they have sort of figured out the value of a starter. And, it's a little weird. Like that David Price contract, I don't know if the Red Sox do that again.
No.
If they had the opportunity.
Well, I think the bigger issue is that if we're moving toward a five-inning start, then yes, I completely agree that the middle relievers value increases, or relievers in general increase. But then at the same time, economics say that the starter salaries should decrease, but they're not.
Well, also, I think some salaries are decreasing. It's probably just the middle guys.
Yeah, gone are the days of, picking up the ball and getting a 7-8 inning start on a regular basis,
oh,
or
yeah,
15-20 complete games, and relievers that would, pick up a 3-inning save. Those days are long gone. Too much money in the game. It's just specialization.
Well, also just the game is sort of evolving, right? Yeah. I would say, and I say too much just to echo what you're saying, but there's too much statistics in the game. It's like, mm-hmm, it just proves that, the team, it doesn't, there's no value. Well, not no value, but there's not enough value in the team letting that pitcher face the lineup the fourth time. There is no value in that, or not. There's a negative value,
right?
On average, blah blah blah, numbers, science, math, whatever.
But if that's the case, though, does that warrant the price continually going up and up and up for each one of these specializations? So before you know it, we're going to be getting, whoever led the league in pinch hits is going to be in demand as a bench player, because statistically it's valid to have that person on your bench, and someone's going to get paid $2 million a year to get 45, 50 at-bats.
Maybe, but probably not. That's going to be where they save the money. That's where they're going to get the guy.
Yeah, the end of the
$3
career,
million instead of eight.
Ichiro Suzuki at age 45, yeah, 6, whatever he is, and climbing. Who said he wanted to play another 10 years? So we'll see how that all turns out. That'd be fun.
Maybe. Or sad.
Okay, so what's your thoughts on J.D. Martinez? Is that going to be a Red Sox pulling the trigger soon?
I mean, where else can he go?
And right? I don't understand the time frame, because it's more a matter of probably Boris saying, we're just going to sit on this a while and get as much as we can out of them, because they're going to get kind of antsy and desperate, and they're going to start throwing more money at us. That's all it can be.
Or this is, and I was reading something from one of the guys on Fangraphs. They're talking about how, all of these players are not getting paid, and the teams are just waiting it out. There is a little bit more supply than demand right now.
Yeah.
So you think you might see a couple of these, what they call pillow contracts, where it's just 1 year,
mm-hmm,
so they can go back into the free agent market next. I mean, there's still Mike Moustakas is still a free agent. There's still Eric Hosmer. There's
J.D.
Martinez.
Somebody throwing out that Moustakas, the Yankees sign him for 1 year, a 20-year, $20 million 1 year contract, so that they can fill that void. And it's like, really? He just had a monster year. He's going for a long-term contract. There'd be no reason to do a pillow contract after a big year.
Yeah.
The only reason why you would need to do it is if there was a glut of players and there was no place to go. But I really don't see someone in his prime years not taking a payday if he can get it. Go to the Phillies.
That might be why Santana took his contract, just because that's more than anyone else is ever going to give us.
Well, I think the one of the big surprises is Longoria being traded to the Giants. That takes another team that was in need of a position out of the running for one of the free agents. So Moustakas, that was a possible landing spot for him. Not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely don't need a third baseman now. But it's a strange deal also, because, as far as I understand, the the actual net cost for the Giants is zero. With the way everything works with all the numbers. So, I mean, they gave up the players, right? Mm-hmm. But because they got rid of Denard Span's contract, because they got this and that and the other thing, and anyway, they were able to make it basically like a zero. They're basically paid nothing in dollars to get Evan Longoria. They didn't pay any more money to get Evan Longoria than mm-hmm. Denard Span, which is an improvement to the team. But, like, why is this team trading prospects? This is not a good team.
Right.
Why are they – and then now they're looking at signing Jay Bruce? Like, why? You're not a good team.
Yeah, Bruce's power might play, but his defense doesn't. Yeah.
You're not Jay Bruce and Evan Longoria away from the playoffs.
Well, they think so.
But
it's
they're
an
not.
Odd year. Yeah, well, or even year.
I will say I see a lot of teams being like a centrifuge here where you have like – or is that the right idea? Anyway, where like you're getting like these super teams stacking up and then a lot of other teams saying like, all right, well, we're going to rebuild. Like there's a lot of teams not signing free agents. Because mm-hmm. I think the nature – you see the Astros and the Cubs win the World Series by doing it this way, like – isn't the natural inclination to do it this way, to sell off your assets? And then of course, if you sell off assets, then free agents have less value.
Right.
It's a strange time in baseball. Things are shifting in a way that, I mean, I'll be interested to see where it winds up.
Yeah. The economics of the game have changed dramatically because of statistics.
Yeah. And then there's so much money in the game still. Like this is part of the reason why the Marlins bought all those free agents and paid Stanton was because the Players Association was putting a lot of pressure on them.
Right, because they were sitting on a wad of cash back then.
Because they were collecting revenue sharing. They were, you know, sort of like, no, this is we don't mind having a shitty team. And it was like, well, you got to spend some money, guys. And they were like, all right, well, we'll sign this stupid contract to Stanton that makes him basically untradeable.
Well, the one thing that I would say that is in Loria's favor is that he's a pretty astute investor. Might not be a good for baseball or baseball yeah. fans, but the guy bought the team for what, $150 million and sold it for yeah. $1.2 billion and, you know, signed a contract that he really doesn't have any responsibility for and doesn't care because he's swimming in money. Not a bad deal.
Pretty sweet deal.
Got a World Series championship out of it too.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm not pro Loria at all, but, you know.
Yeah.
From a money
no, look,
perspective,
obviously he's not the
well.
Antichrist. You know, I will say though, with him off the market as the worst owner in the league, I used to say that I thought the Rockies owners would be next, but you know, Peter Angelos might be that guy.
Yeah,
with the Orioles, yeah. He might be the guy.
Or Jeter, Jeter may just slip right into the role.
That would be pretty hilarious, right? Derek Jeter, the heel. But they're saying now that Manny Machado is not on the block.
Right. Yeah,
they didn't
he was
like
on,
the offers
now
they
he's
got.
Off and, yeah, they were
well,
asking
they were in a
for
bit of an
awful lot for 1 year rental.
Yeah, they were, and then also they wanted to make sure that whoever they traded to wouldn't then turn around and trade him to the Yankees and the Red Sox, right. But maybe at least the Yankees.
Yeah, speaking of distaste within the world of baseball, I read yesterday that Fred Wilpon. One of the Mets owners was irate over the signing of Stanton because he hates whenever the Yankees do something like that. And then the Mets have done absolutely nothing this offseason. Yeah. You know, so you expect another mediocre year from the Mets at best. Well, they're still holding on that David Wright will come back from his, you know, reconstruction of his back and do something. The guy has been getting paid an awful lot of money over the last 3 years to, you know, spend 80% of the time on the DL. Yeah, the Mets are not in a very good place these days.
Yeah, it's too bad, right? They got to the World Series a couple of years back, yeah. And then it just kind of all fell apart in the way that really only a baseball team can fall apart.
2 years ago, right now, we'd be sitting here talking about this amazing pitching staff, and, you know, they're going to just be a buzzsaw.
Was that just 2 years ago, John?
Just 2 years ago. Seems like a wow. blip. Yeah, then it all fell apart.
Wow. Who did they lose to in the World Series?
The Royals.
Was that the Royals? That's the Royals. Right, the Royals. Yeah. Wow. Wow, god dang.
Seems such a long time ago.
I guess it was just, oh wow. Too bad for the Mets though, right?
Yeah, and Mets
Well,
fans.
They got to the World Series. Good
yeah,
for
at least they made it.
At least they made
okay,
it.
Okay, Dustin Fowler suing the White Sox.
Right. Former Yankee Dustin Fowler, now Oakland Athletic, was traded in the Sonny Gray deal, but he was that guy who played like one inning.
Right, his very first game.
A very Moonlight Graham of him.
Yeah.
And was chasing down a foul ball and hit an electrical box or something.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's suing the White Sox because he hit an electrical box that was in play.
Maybe not try not to hit the electrical box. I don't know.
I feel like
there's something there, though. It kind of seems like, why is there an electrical box in the field of play?
Yeah. I feel like that should be better protected. But then I also feel like, why hasn't this been protected for 10 years? And then also, like, no, are players allowed to sue teams over this stuff? Isn't this just like workers' comp?
It's kind of this kind of thing that drives me nuts about everything in sports. And I understand from the liability point of view. Like when hockey, when a person got hit in the face with a puck. And in baseball, when a bat hits a fan, all of a sudden we're extending the protection because of, you know, how many baseball games or hockey games are played before something like that happens. And the second that it happens, it's like you go to the game, you sit in the lower seats near the dugout or, you know, near just above the glass in hockey. You're in the zone. You got to be aware. And now all of a sudden we're putting up nets and we're changing, you know, all these things that make it more difficult for fans to observe the game. The knee jerk reaction to that is always like, oh, well, we have to avoid a lawsuit because, you know, we're sue happy culture.
There's a lot of sue happiness.
Yes. We love to sue here in the States.
It is one of the things we do best.
Okay. We talked about Longoria, which was a little bit of a surprise, sad day for Rays fans. You know, because he was kind of like the face of the franchise.
Also, doesn't that sort of mean that like they're going to start dumping other guys, you think it was just because he had his 10-5 rights come up? For those who don't know what a 10-5 rights are, when you're the team for 10 years, or when you've played in the major leagues for 10 years, 5 with the same team, you get full no trade clause. And I think his was coming up in April or May. Right?
And I think that's a smart thing for the Rays because he's definitely on the downside.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to be able to keep him at whatever, you know, down the road. I don't, he's got 2 more years on his.
Yeah. He's got 2 more years, which by the way, used to be one of the best contracts in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they signed him long-term.
Well, it's like Yelich, 7-year deal, $49 million. You know, he's assuming that he blossoms into what we expect him to blossom into, or Marlins fans expect him. But he's showing, you know, that value is definitely there for just $49 million. So you've got, you know, it's like with McCutcheon too. His long-term 7-year deal was a steal too. Although not, you know, well, last year he had a little bit of a bounce back in the second half. So that was,
it's still a steal. Like he's still getting paid less than he would on the open market right now. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not right now because the market's sort of saturated. But
and how long did Trout sign his deal for?
I think it was a 10-year deal, but he has the opt-out after, I think after the fifth year, which would be 2 years.
And what's his average annual?
I don't know. It's I think altogether it winds up being $30 million, right? Okay.
And undervalued?
And undervalued, exactly. Yeah. If they estimate a win is worth $8 million-ish. And he does anywhere from, you know, 7 to 10 wins a year. That's 7 wins at $8 million is, you know, $56 million value. So
it's hard to say that someone's underpaid at $30 million a year.
Yeah. But then it's, you know, there are players who were overpaid. So like Adrian Gonzalez and Matt Kemp.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully the mentality will shift in baseball to paying younger players bigger money, because we have a tendency within the sport to, they prove themselves, and then when their contract years come up in, you know, their late 20s, they wind up getting the long-term deal that is their best years are behind them.
Right.
It just never makes sense, especially for the team. If they were, you know, like with Pujols, the Cardinals got the absolute best out of Pujols. He signs the life deal to go to the Angels, and they don't even come close to getting the value out of that, you know. So it's, if they stay with the, if he had stayed with the Cardinals, it would make more sense, because, you know, you're basically evening it out for the entire length of his service to the team. But when someone, you know, plays, you know, 10 years in one place and then signs a long-term deal with another team, that second team is never going to get that value. Never.
Yeah, that's true.
So like in basketball and football, yeah. these players are paid.
I mean, there's they come close to, I think, getting the value, but there's just, they don't get that extreme value. You know, like they get closer to the $8 million a win thing, you know? Anyway.
Statistics.
Yeah. We can get into the free agency stuff as more free agents sign, but you and I both are very, feel very similar about it, that there's a, the back end stuff, you, I don't know, maybe the teams will get more careful about it. I do know that the league is going younger, like Roy Moore. Sorry. That joke wouldn't have been so much better if I wasn't sick, but anyway.
It came out of nowhere, so it's good.
I know, right? What is that? Just a cheap shot at that guy. Who cares?
So did you by any chance see the buff photo of Tin Lincecum?
Yes.
God, he's looking pretty good.
Yeah. It looks like maybe he's no longer snacking off the weed, if you know what I'm saying.
No, he's. I was so surprised because he used to be kind of like the skinny, wimpy kid.
Yeah.
With the whip arm and the flashy hair. Now he's like, you know, buff.
Yeah. And the medical marijuana card.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if the Lincecum saga over the last 2 years, because when he.
Well, he's been working with Driveline Baseball. Mm-hmm. Which is a group, an organization that helps baseball players maximize their pitching stuff. Trevor Bauer has done a lot with them, and they have worked with teams in developing throwing programs. They focus a lot on using weighted baseballs so that when they actually, so they're heavier, they use heavier baseballs than what they use in the game. It would be cool to see Lincecum come back and be awesome. He was really awful. Bad for a very long time.
Well, his
and
last
shouldn't have been in the league.
Was it? He didn't play at all last year, but the year before was. Who was he? Was he with the Dodgers? Who was he with when he came?
No,
back?
No, the Angels.
Angels, and he had a 9-point something ERA.
The other Los Angeles other team, Los John. Angeles team.
Yeah,
that's in Anaheim.
Yeah. So yeah, he was pretty god awful. But it'll be interesting to see if he can come back. Two-time Cy Young Award winner on the comeback trail.
Yeah, we'll see.
So we have some luxury tax news.
Yes.
How exciting.
Well, look, the only reason why I put this on the rundown is because I think we start to see a little bit here why the Dodgers didn't go after Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
Is last year they paid $36 million in luxury tax.
That's a lot of money.
And if they can just get their payroll down below 197 or whatever it is this year, which seems like a lot still, but they're right around that mark with the Matt Kemp trade now. If they can just get down below that mark, then they can save themselves tens of millions of dollars every year going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a smart business decision. Whether it's a smart baseball decision is
not everybody that's in the game is in it for World Series trophies. They're in it for, it's a business. You know,
it is
fans
a business.
Have a tendency not to understand that.
I mean, when you start to explain like that, it's such a huge amount of money that they're paying out. And I know a lot of fans think like, oh, they have all the money. But do they really have all the money?
Yeah, $36 million is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
15, that's 15 for half the Yankees, 36
that's
for
a
the
half
Dodgers.
That's a Marlins payroll is what that is.
It was 1 year back right after, I think it was after the 99 season, 98. They had a salary below 30 million. Team salary was 27 million for the year, which was ridiculous.
I think the Astros had one like that 2 years ago when they had finished their gutting everyone. Isn't it amazing? The Astros gutted everyone. And they accidentally dumped J.D. Martinez, and they still won the World Series. They accidentally dumped one of the best five hitters in baseball.
Accidentally?
Well, you know, like they didn't know he was going to change his swing angle and become one of the best.
Yeah, there's a lot of players who have done that. Like who's the Taylor for the Dodgers?
Yeah, Taylor and Turner.
Did nothing.
Yeah.
Did nothing when he was here. Same with Brad. Seems like Seattle has got Brad Miller had a little bit of a coming out with the Rays and hit something like 28 home runs 2 years ago. I don't know what he did. I don't remember what he did last year. But
no, he tanked last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the Mariners got Yonder Alonso last year, and then he stopped hitting home runs when he went to the Mariners.
Right. Now he just signed yesterday, right?
Yeah, with the Indians.
With the Indians, yeah.
Interesting move. 2-year deal, $8 million. He'll probably be worth more than that. The smart, smart move for an Indians team that doesn't have all the money in the world and has escalating.
It beats $66 million for Santana.
It would be hard to say that Santana is so much better a player than
just the OPB. OBP. I always get that wrong. The OBP alone is where he gets a lot of value.
Yeah. But Yonder Alonso also has a high on-base percentage, or OPB, and but is also a better defender at first. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. So I always like to see who's adding what to the infield and outfield from a fantasy baseball perspective, because then you go like, oh, well, they added better defenders. Like the Angels pitchers are, you look for these guys to all be better next year because they have. They signed Zach Cozart to play third base. They have an infield, Ian Kinsler, Zach Cozart, Andrelton Simmons. Like, that is a solid infield.
Yeah, the Angels went from mediocre to contenders.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the top five in the American League now. I mean, they're the bottom of the top five, but they're still top five.
Well, Ohtani's the unknown, and if he delivers, they'll be right in the hunt. If he doesn't... Yeah. They'll still be in the hunt, but he's...
Yeah, they'll still be in the hunt. That's the thing is he's... That's a very good team now.
They do need another really pitcher. Nice job. I think if they get one more...
Well, they need one more pitcher just because one of their starters is guaranteed to get hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
What else is there?
What else we got? Oh, speaking of getting hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Britton. So I heard about this yesterday, but how did he rupture his Achilles? What did he do?
He's just working out.
Oh, man. That's brutal.
Yeah, just working out in the offseason.
Guess he's off the market.
Yeah, so it's weird, right? Like, maybe the Orioles won't even sign him for the next year, right? Like, they won't even go through the arbitration process. Because, like, he's going to come back in, what, 6 months? So that's May?
That's pretty quick from an Achilles injury, too.
I mean, they say 4 to 6 months, but it's 6 months, right? So, like, you're talking about June... Maybe he's ready to pitch by the end of June. Maybe he's pitching in big league games by the end of June. I don't know. Maybe you could trade him for something valuable. So do you sign him for $13 million, hoping that he recovers and that he shows enough value that you can trade him for something worth more than $13 million? I don't know. That's a rough one.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good timing for those types of injuries.
Yeah. But at least he didn't do it right before his free agency, year.
Yeah, so. That wouldn't have been good.
I'm always on the player's side on that sort of stuff. Yeah. I want players to make as much money as they can.
Especially players who were undervalued.
Exactly.
Going into their
historically performing and undervalued.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or underpaid, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
How about some good news, John?
Yeah, how about some good news? Cole Hamels doing the good thing, the nice thing.
Yeah, him and his wife, whose name I don't know, I apologize.
Mrs. Hamels.
Not sexist. Mrs. Cole Hamels donated a 32,000 square foot mansion, I think it was in Missouri, and land to a camp for children with special needs and chronic illnesses. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's a tearjerker type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can hardly blame him for wanting to get out of Missouri. So really, it's win-win.
Right. For the kids and Cole and Mrs. Hamels.
Everybody, this is a great scenario for everybody. And can you imagine how awful it must be to be these kids with special needs and chronic illnesses and be in Missouri?
Yeah, they're like, guess where you're going? Anywhere but in Missouri, please. You're going to Missouri.
It's probably a net plus for them,
yeah,
though, right?
I would.
Have you seen the pictures of the property?
No, I haven't. And did he live there?
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I don't know if he lived there. No.
He bought it and donated it.
I don't know the sequence, John.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe you were deep in it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the sequence. Yeah. I just thought it was a cool story, but not cool enough for me to read it.
Well, I should have known after you didn't know Mrs. Hamel's name that you probably didn't go deep into that one.
Gosh darn it. What are we doing? Are we doing the
starting nine
now?
Here we go.
All right. Starting nine. Starting nine. It sounds like a different song because I got a cold.
But it's the same rhythm, though. I like
it. It's the same melody, John.
Yeah, it is.
And the only important thing these days are rhythm and melody.
Headlines. Extra innings.
Look, I only know one song, John. It has the exact same melody.
Okay, so this starting nine, for those who don't know, is Jed picks out some players who have names that sound like something that's relevant, timely, and this week's episode features baseball players with names that sound like Christmas or Christmassy
sounding.
That's right,
it's Christmas time. And you know what? Donald Trump has won the war on Christmas. It's now
Merry
safe
Christmas.
To say Merry Christmas to people. Up until last year, I would get death threats for saying Merry Christmas. People would set me on fire with lighter fluid, and it was awful, John. And now Donald Trump has saved us, and now I can say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
How many friends, John, how many friends do we have to have incarcerated for having said Merry Christmas during the Obama administration?
I know.
Right? And now, here we are, free to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, listener. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So many people took so much flack over the last half a dozen years for having send it. I have one of my clients is a bank, and they took a lot of flack because they're in a conservative part of the world. And they sent out a holiday card, Christmas card. Last year, it said Happy Holidays, and right. Their base was offended that they didn't say Merry Christmas.
Yeah. That's because the war was not over yet, John. The war's over now.
It's over. Merry Christmas, one and all.
And now we're all simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
There you go. That's nice. Sing song, sing song. Okay.
All right, let's do these names real quick before I pass out.
Nine players with Christmassy sounding names.
All right. Carlos Santana Claus.
Strong out
Topical.
Of the box.
Topical. All right. Shinsu Scrooge.
That's good. I like it.
Jesus Aguilar. Jesus is a very big part of Christmas, John.
Yes, he is.
I don't know if you heard. Rudolph the Rob Ref Snyder.
Even singing and songs. And
It's all the energy I had, John. It's all I could do. Marcus Frosty the Strowman.
These are solid. These are all solid.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we're going to go a little bit, you know, non-traditional Christmas movie here. Actually, you know what? This is Ralphie Parker Bridwell, Ralphie right. From Christmas Story.
Christmas Story, yeah.
John McClane Adams, Lane Adams.
Very good.
John McClane, Die Hard Christmas movie. George Homer Bailey.
Yes, very good.
It's a Wonderful Life. And wrap it all up with Randall Grinchuk.
Those are all good, really good. We had some, classic movies thrown in there. And the kids are going to love that one.
Yeah, that's definitely for the kids.
Definitely for the kids.
And I believe that's the third week in a row we've had a Shinsu Chu on.
Well, his name lends itself to
it does.
The starting
because we had him for Chewbacca last week. And then I think the sushi.
Yes.
For the Japanese food. The week before.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Shinsu Chu goes a long way. Shinsu Chu goes a long way. Can't even say his name right. Okay, it's extra innings time.
Because we're racist.
It's just like... when it comes to Asians, we're racist.
Man, I tell you.
So hopefully we didn't lose all of our Asian listeners right there.
Yeah. Faux, I hope we didn't.
Faux show.
Faux show. Hey, by the way, is there anything better in this world than faux pun restaurants?
Faux pun, what is that?
Well, like faux, P-H-O, the
pho
Vietnamese
is the
soup.
The correct
Okay, pho, yeah.
Pho that, right?
Merry Christmas, John. You're going to start a war on pho now?
Yeah, I always found that interesting when people say it, pho. The way they enunciate the A part of it, it just sounds like it's not even a word. It sounds like, well, finish
it's
your thought.
It's faux. Do you want to know why it's faux, John? Because we're in America.
Right.
All right? I go to France, I'm not drinking a Coca-Cola. I'm drinking a Coke. someone wants to come to America and bring a delicious soup from Vietnam, it's still going to be called pho. Sorry, you spell it P-H-O. I'm going to call it pho.
Pho. Merry Christmas, pho. Merry Christmas.
I have no idea what we're talking about, John.
We're
What's
just
next?
Ranting. Extra innings.
The big babbling is probably extra more so innings. Than usual. Let's, extra innings.
Yeah,
right.
Taking a look outside of the world of baseball, it's time for extra innings. Extra innings. Extra innings. More fun.
Extra innings.
Outside of baseball.
Extra innings. We were talking about baseball before, but now we're not.
Let's talk a little NFL.
Yes.
Mike Tomlin predicts the NFL catch rule. Debate will continue in the offseason, and why wouldn't it? Because we've had so many high-profile type of catch-related. And if this is going to be how can you get to a point where you have a rule that makes sense all the time? You just can't. If you're going to look at something with a camera and look at every micro move of the ball in slow motion, you're going to definitely have that. So you're going to say, when I saw that replay, as soon as I saw that replay, I was like, that's not a catch.
Right.
Based on the rule, because that's what the rule
is. Based on the rule. But here's the thing, John. This is why I think Tomlin's right. There is nothing that will get the league to change a rule faster than if the Patriots used it to succeed.
That's true. That is true.
There's the tuck rule. And there's a couple. There's the corners. What was it the Colts lobbied for? The cornerbacks touching the wide receivers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a thing that the Colts did because they couldn't stand the Patriots were roughing up their wide receivers. So then the rules committee made it that was against the rules. Because no one likes the Patriots winning, I guarantee you this rule change happens this year for the first time.
I just don't know what the rule's going to be. That the ball can move a little, and when you...
Yeah,
when
it should be able to move a little bit as long as it's not dropped. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, because when you look at it in real time...
Wait a minute. Should we give context to this, right? The Patriots and the Steelers played a game, and basically the Patriots won because, A, the Steelers threw what looked like a touchdown catch, and then it wasn't. And then Ben Roethlisberger followed up with throwing an interception. Seattle Seahawks-ish. Yeah.
But I think my thoughts on that would be that there was plenty of time left on the clock. If that was a touchdown, 34 seconds, that's enough for Tom Brady to get at least one touchdown.
Right. Maybe two.
So, yeah, I wouldn't have, it would have made for an interesting finish to the game.
Yeah.
In no way did that guarantee the Steelers would have won that game. There was, if there were 10 seconds, yeah, sure, I would have said that. But two passes down the middle, to Gronkowski, a spike here, and there.
What if they subbed in Aaron Rodgers?
Who didn't look too Aaron Rodgers-y.
Yeah, looked a little rusty.
Yeah.
I hope they sit him the rest of the year. No,
they did. He's done for the year.
That's the ruling? Okay, yeah, good. Not the ruling, that's the decision?
Yeah, he's back on the IR. He's done. Put a fork in him.
Good.
Yeah, the three interceptions, he got hit pretty hard a few times. They're out of the playoffs. No.
Yeah.
So Hundley's like fist pumping left and right.
You know what? He didn't mind at all because he's dated Olivia Munn and he's like, this is nothing. Compared to having to dealing with that person. He's like, put me out again.
Another
don't even block for me this time.
Another good football. He Hate Me may be coming back.
Oh, yes.
That would be awesome. Vince McMahon is threatening a reboot of the XFL.
Well, he's always threatening just about everything. But yeah, apparently he sold a bunch of his shares in the WWE. And he still owns the voting control or whatever, but sold out $100 million worth of stock and is looking to reboot the XFL.
Which would be awesome.
Would it?
Yeah, 24/7 football. Now, it actually made for a little bit of fun because it's like the Blitz game on Xbox and PlayStation. It's kind of like the amped up. Kind of humorous, kind of fun side of football as opposed to the always serious Mike Tomlin bitching, moaning type of football. This is more of it's like WWF meets football. It's just as much show as it is sport.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, football is a popular sport. I'm surprised there isn't a secondary league.
Yeah, because
you're isn't LeVar Ball looking at starting some basketball league too? Please. Like,
I just that person cannot go away fast enough for me.
He's
I know
be here
love
forever,
him.
John.
I know you love Johnny,
the no, fact no, no, no. Let me be very clear. I love him mine. Like I love him like I love the Kardashians. Right. Like, I would be so happy if they were just gone.
But they provide
same
so much
with LeVar Ball, but
for you.
At the same time, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, just Ball is just bad. He's just bad. Yeah. I don't know. Like a bad human? I don't know. It's just the way he's not that special. And although he walks around as if he's, you know, Jesus.
Right.
I don't know.
Is this the war on Christmas again?
Who is your starting nine Jesus player?
Aguilar.
Aguilar.
No, there's not a lot of big name Jesuses right now.
Because I was trying to remember.
But you know what? Apropos, John. It's not surprising that given the Obama administration's war on Christmas that there aren't a lot of good Jesuses in baseball right now.
The war on Jesuses in baseball.
This is why Jesus Montero failed as a prospect. Because of the Obama administration.
They screwed up everything. They're ruining it for everybody.
That's so funny.
Oh, right. Puppy's laughing
away. At my own jokes. Puppy's up.
So I thought that was Lady Gaga in the background. You were playing some music just to get everybody in the mood for the next extra innings bullet point. She's going to make a boatload of money, $100 million for a 2-year residency gig.
Where?
In Vegas. Vegas, baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that the old saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Not a big Lady Gaga fan.
Not a big lady. Did you see the documentary? I was not.
No. I have not.
It's strange. I think it's like if you're a fan of hers, like you probably like it a lot. But if you're not a fan of hers, it's like, is this a horrible person?
I can't tell
if this is a horrible person. This might be a horrible.
Oh,
Ripley knows it's a horrible. She's a horrible person.
You see, when you get your voice up high like that, you know,
right? She heard that's it. What it is. She's hearing my octaves, and she's going.
She's going crazy.
All right, I'll try to bring it down a notch here. Okay, John. What else we got?
That sounds a little racist.
Does it sound? I'm just trying to decide. Oh, is it because it sounds a little bit like a black man? I'm just trying to talk deep. How about this?
That's good.
Can I? Let me see if I can do Morgan Freeman. All right, I'm Morgan Freeman. Nope, I can't do it with a stuffy nose.
So yeah, okay, we'll watch the Lady Gaga documentary to see how much of a horrible person she is.
She's kind of a bad person, I think.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
But she's, you know, laughing all the way to the bank. $100 million.
Oh,
bucks.
Yeah, no, for sure. She's got all
so,
the
yeah,
money in the world.
Britney Spears' gig was $36 million for, I think, a year and a half, and she's getting $100 million for 2 years. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. If only the Las Vegas, you know what? Stop.
Yeah, done. Yeah, that was. I know where you were going with that. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad
you don't know
you
where
stopped.
I was going, John.
I do know where you're going with that.
You have no idea where I was going, John. No. I was not about to make a totally horrifying joke.
I think you were.
Hey, what's this next news item we got here? Eminem said something, right?
Eminem. I don't know if he professed this, proud of it, bragged, boasted that he's a Tinder and Grindr user.
Right, so interestingly, Tinder, that's interesting to hear that a celebrity is using Tinder. Secondly, Grindr is for gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of, I don't know if he's trying to do like a troll thing, like that he might be bisexual, but that would really only be the only excuse for using Grindr, unless you just like really like hanging out with gay guys.
He just likes the pictures.
He likes the articles?
Yes, he likes the articles.
Anyway, in his attempts to stay relevant, I guess, you know.
Well, he just had an album come out, too. It's gotten,
I know, right? He's still waiting for Donald Trump to respond to his lyrics, which is very sad.
I haven't heard any of the new songs yet. Although
I haven't heard any of them either, but Eminem, so he releases albums. There's some anti-Trump tracks in there. Trump hasn't said anything, and I think it's driving Eminem crazy. And then now he's like, well, if he does say something, I've got some more comebacks for him.
Oh, so okay. So he's worried that Trump hasn't tweeted about him yet?
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is how much does it get in your head that, like, he tweets about everything, but he won't tweet about your album? All right, let's wrap this thing up, John. I'm done.
So I don't know what this conspiracy is. So the...
Okay, so here we go, right? Okay. Lost in all this shuffle and the tax plan that's going to kill millions and the net neutrality that's going to kill millions, the government basically acknowledges that UFOs exist, right? They release some video of UFOs shot by pilots, and they basically say, yeah, we've been studying this for a while, studying these unidentified flying objects that move in ways that no earthbound technology can do. And so they basically acknowledge this, and no one cares because we're all going to die from this new tax cut. And net neutrality
is
going to...
snuck it out. Is that what you're saying?
It's totally amazing. The government has basically said UFOs exist, and no one cares. No one cares, like, at all. Like, that's how insane 2017 is.
Every news outlet covered it last Saturday when that broke.
Like, they covered it for a few minutes, and then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I guess it's a UFO. I guess that's an alien life form flying a ship that we've never seen before. Like, you know what? I saw Independence Day. I really already know how this goes.
Right. So there's...
I already saw Close Encounters. Whatever. Like, it's UFOs. They're for real. Here's the thing. So you ask, what's the conspiracy? You know how much I love conspiracy theories,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a UFO conspiracy. Obviously, everyone knows that, right? Everyone knows there's a UFO conspiracy, right? Theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows that. Well, now it's sort of verified that, yes, there are UFOs. Okay, good. Now there's a UFO conspiracy that releasing the information about the UFOs is to take attention away from what's really going on in the world with the Illuminati and the Bilderberg guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so... I love it. I love when you can take a conspiracy theory and then turn it on its head and make another conspiracy theory.
So it's a redirect.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But again, let's keep this in mind. The government has acknowledged UFOs exist and no one cares. Shouldn't this be the news that every night? Shouldn't this be what everyone is talking about?
It should be, but
no one cares.
No one
cares. Donald Trump's our president.
Merry Christmas.